If you're having paranormal issues, contact us at mwghosthunters.com. From the files of the Midwest Ghost Hunters.
All right, Midwest Ghost Hunters site investigation, recorder one.
Oh, Dustin, right there. Something just moved behind you.
Yes, it did.
What the f*** was that?
What happened?
Something touched my ear, man.
What's that?
This is Dark Matter with Midwest Ghost Hunters.
Last week, we were talking about our most recent investigation of the skilled nursing facility, nursing home. They requested anonymity as to the location or name, so we're not going to put that out there. But we do have the evidence up on the website at mwghosthunters.com, and you can click through there and just kind of look through some of the stuff we caught while we were there. It was a fun investigation to do, so we thank them for having us out there. Have some other ones lined up. I know we have not been to Ashley. You've never been there, Hunter. I know.
No, I haven't.
And we haven't been there in a long time.
Right. Yeah. It's forever, almost, it seems
but
like.
We've been talking about it.
Oh, yeah. We talk a good game.
Because I like to, whenever I find myself with extra time, just randomly pick a podcast and listen through it just for the sake of listening through to see, you know, what works and what doesn't and, you know, what keeps it flowing and all that stuff. And I pulled one from September. Yeah. We talked to her in September.
Halloween special.
Yeah. September, October, November, December, January, 6 months ago. That's been 6 months ago.
Yeah.
And we had her on that podcast with full intention of...
But with Ashley's house, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter when you go. It has nothing to do. I mean, everybody always is kind of like, oh, you got to do the Halloween podcast from Ashley's house, which is a good idea. But you could get the same sort of stuff on Mother's Day, on Father's Day, any day at Ashley's house.
That's more for the showbiz aspect than anything. That's not because we think we'll catch more activity or anything, but hell, I thought for sure we'd be there by now, but here we are.
You think so.
But here we are. Remember how long it took to get to Mars Hill? I mean, hell, we talked about it for 18 months.
Boy, and that was worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was
actually,
it?
That is one of my favorite podcasts
it
to
really
listen
is.
To. I love that one.
Yeah.
That one was one of my favorite to listen to.
That's my favorite one I've been a part of, for sure.
The time out at Mars Hill when everybody was scattering and running, I just knew there was just nothing I could do.
Sometimes it's worst invest... What was that?
What the hell was that?
I don't know.
Like the high-pitched wheezy thing? Yeah. Sometimes it's the worst investigation that makes for the best podcast fodder.
Oh, yeah. And when we talked last time about not feeling anything, the only time I felt anything was adrenaline running from hillbillies on the dirt path.
So that was a fun podcast to at least listen to. It wasn't a fun experience necessarily. I don't even know why I got to start talking about that.
It's fun every time, though.
But Ashley's place will not be that way when we go there. I can tell you that much, because we've been there several times, and every time we've been, we've caught lots of stuff.
Yeah.
If you want to talk about pure quantity of EVPs and whatnot, that's where you get them.
Sounds like fun.
It's like fishing in a stocked pond.
Yeah. Because, so, I mean, it's pretty much a guarantee, and you hear stuff with your ears, too. And we actually saw stuff. Remember when we saw that little shadow thing duck behind the couch that Dustin was sitting on?
That was so funny.
It was so funny.
He was just kind of kicked back on the couch, relaxing, and we, at the same time, he's like, oh, did you see? So it looked like something ducked right behind you. Like, and Dustin's sitting there, he's like, well, is someone going to come check it out, or are we just going to?
We got our best men on this, don't we?
But anyway, we are going to get back out to Ashley's, for sure.
Dustin has to go to that investigation.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
if Dustin can't go, let's call it off.
We'll make sure everybody can.
It's not that other people don't matter, but Dustin is just raw entertainment at Ashley's house. I mean, because there's so many things that just happen, and he just lobs that Dustin comment right out there, you know?
Yeah, we'll make sure as many of us can go as possible when we get out there. We do have some emails, speaking of older podcasts, that we can talk to read here. I don't know if I've sent this one to you guys or not. We did get an email about our Flat Earth episode that we did.
Oh, good.
Oh, I think you might have sent that.
Did I? I don't remember. He sent a yes, I think I did, because he sent a picture of the
picture
truck.
Of the truck?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I don't think I read it on the podcast though.
No.
His email. So this is from Chris, and he says, I love your podcast. I've listened to every episode from the beginning.
That sometimes makes me,
that sometimes makes me cringe, because that first one was so shitty.
To give you an idea, Hunter, our first episode was so bad.
Now, the content wasn't bad.
Right.
You just couldn't hear any
of
it.
Well, it's because we were using brand new equipment we'd never used before. Did you just hear that?
I did just hear that.
Okay. Did it sound like, ooh?
That was a...
Oh, I heard something different.
Something like that, yeah.
Okay, breath.
Our first episode was so bad as far as quality.
Oh, my God.
I didn't have anything hooked up right, because it was
only one mic, I think, was working.
First time. No, it was all Chris's laptop.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Everything on his laptop.
It was the mic on the laptop. You know how bad they are.
Yeah, and so I got back in, and what you hear on the... the platform when you go back and listen to it.
Oh, it's so bad.
That is the processed version after I fixed it.
Yeah, that's the fix.
It was just god awful, and it was so bad that our podcast platform sent me tutorials on how to use a microphone.
No.
It was so bad.
It was terrible.
They sent me tutorials that says, if you use a microphone, it will sound better.
It will sound good.
Hold a microphone and speak into it.
I can see where they're coming from, because it sounded like shit warmed over. Yeah. I mean, it sounded awful. And to make it even worse, we had Tamara on the podcast.
And that's what I told you.
Because it was our first one from here at Pythian Castle, so we brought Tamara in to give us an interview just to talk about the castle.
We really should have her on again at some point.
Yeah, we should.
That'd be fun.
For sure. Since no one could hear her on the other one, it was the mic on the laptop picking up the whole podcast.
And she used this laptop mic to bring back old times.
Oh, it just makes me cringe whenever people say they listen from the beginning. It's like whenever I tell people to, I say start at episode 2, because that first one was terrible. Anyway, let's go back to the email here. This is from Chris, and he's like, I've listened to your every episode from the beginning. Sometimes I listen to recent ones more than once to listen for the EVPs you mentioned, but I am hard of hearing. I work nights and have the opportunity to listen when I can.
And Chris, if you would comment on our platforms too, go ahead and comment on it, and like, share, all that on whatever platform you're listening on.
Yeah, we don't remind people to do that often enough, but that does help. If you leave any kind of comment or rating or, whatever at all, that does help. Okay, back to his email. He's like, Flat Earth, I know you're done talking about it, but I have to share. That episode made me laugh so hard, so thank you. I live in Prescott, Arizona. Ghost Adventures investigated the A1 Saloon and the Grand Hotel nearby. Now we have a local celebrity. From spring to about early fall, a guy sits with his truck at the downtown square that has Flat Earth stuff written on it. One of the things on it is NASA is a hoax. They know you are, the letters you are, stupid. It also has links for a website. And he attached a picture. Remember I did send that. He attached a picture of the truck, and he spray painted. This dude has spray painted this on a fairly nice looking truck. NASA is a hoax. They know you are stupid. And then it's flatearth101.com.
Quick question. Did you go to the website?
Yes. That's, of course I did. That's the first thing I did.
Okay, because that's the first thing I did too. And I looked at the top 10 proofs of Flat Earth or whatever, the top 10 evidence.
What were those? I don't even remember.
Oh, man. One of them was like, it was like the pictures that NASA use of the Earth are clearly photoshopped with like a fisheye lens.
Right. The fisheye lens is a big one that they use.
It shows a satellite obstructing the view of the Earth. So it would have to be pretty damn well photoshopped in order to not be obstructed by the lens too.
They always use these ocean, horizon pictures to show that the Earth doesn't curve. Have you ever seen a basketball that's been zoomed in on?
Yeah.
Well, they're flat too.
The problem with that is they're not.
They're not, but if you zoom in far enough... If you zoom in far enough, they sure as hell look it.
There's so many things about Flat Earth that I just can't wrap my mind around. But why? Well, who gains? Who would? Let's say, let's go out on the biggest limb in the history of the world here and say, yeah, you're right. Which they're not, but let's say that they are. Why? Who?
I mean,
who gains from that?
I'm just, the top 10 flat earth proofs. I see that right there now.
Why would you spend billions of dollars to create a shape that was not true? I mean, who gained? Anytime you're talking about a conspiracy, number one, first thing you got to ask is, number one, is it even pliable to keep that a secret like that? Number two, who gains?
Government gains control.
I don't understand who gains.
I can't wrap my mind around that.
I mean, their map that they use, and I don't want to do another Flat Earth episode here. However, I will say the map or whatever the hell that thing is that they use that looks like a board game, the distances don't work out. If you use, if you measure, we know how far it is from the United States to the coast of Australia. We know how many miles that is. In no way does their map work when you use a ruler and use a scale, of any measurements of your choice, kilometers, miles, whatever, they don't work.
One of their proofs was that flight paths between continents don't make sense on a global map.
That's what I'm looking at.
And that one baffled me because they were trying to say that, like, it must be a straight line point A to B.
Well,
it's not.
Okay, well, this just highlights further stupidity. Because you have to take into effect, not only is the Earth indeed a ball, but it's also rotating.
Yeah.
So there's what's called the Coriolis effect.
And they were saying, another thing was, like, since Earth is always rotating. There was another thing where like, why don't I remember.
If they would actually take, if they would take, and they won't, one simple course in atmospheric science or meteorology, the way they predict where a weather pattern is going to move is not a straight line.
See, and that's another thing they brought up was weather patterns. Like if the Earth was round and was rotating at a fixed rotation,
like
then we
is.
Should be able to predict the weather patterns easily, and they should not be able to move in different directions.
The hell does that mean?
I don't know, but it makes no damn sense.
No, weather, if anything, disproves their theory, which I think they know.
Yeah.
Because you use the Coriolis effect, because here's a simple fact, and we're not going to get too deep into flat earth and all this crap, but we have to at least hit this.
I do love talking about it because it's so funny.
Large cyclones in the northern hemisphere move counterclockwise.
Yes.
Those same cyclones in the southern hemisphere move clockwise for a reason. Because if you, we're not going to get into the physics of this, it doesn't even matter because they come up with dumb fake facts.
Gravity is magic.
See, I think that flat earth is fine as a theory if you're talking about the 1600s.
Well, yeah, they didn't know, but now we've seen.
But you've now been to space. This is done.
And that's a flat ass earth down there, let me tell you.
Look, I mean, you've been to space. And if nothing else, look at the moon.
Weather is something that I did initially start out studying. And what they're showing here on their dumb proofs that the earth is flat. They're talking about jet streams.
Yeah.
Okay. They're talking about the polar. This is the polar jet stream. This is it.
They said jet streams on a globe don't make sense.
Yes, they do. Whatever you take into account the fact that the Earth is a ball and this is the Coriolis effect, they make perfect sense to anyone with half a fucking brain.
I don't get that. I mean, do they describe then, and again, I don't want to go down this rabbit hole either.
Well, we're in it.
Is this theory, is the idea then that these things are flat, like quarters are flat, where a quarter would also be a circle. It would be a circle. A quarter would be a circle, but it's also flat. Is that the theory?
A pancake is what they call it.
Yeah, I never knew if it was a pancake or a little square or...
No, it's a pancake. It's a circle, but it's not a sphere.
Then if that's the case, when you're getting to the backside of the Earth, that would be just a little bitty bit here. Because if you get a quarter out and look at a quarter... You'd have two long sides and two little short things. This is insane.
Well, it's like this coffee cup lid. It's a circle, but it's flat. And you see these ridges around the end? That's the ice wall.
Oh, hell yeah.
That holds all the water and all the land in it.
No.
And then on the bottom, they show it as just like upside down mountains.
No, no. No.
Don't they have icicles hanging off the
side?
And
they got icicles hanging off the side, which would be like thousands of miles long.
No.
Yes.
Yeah, it's the dumbest thing on the globe is this flat earth idea. And we're not, I mean, this fisheye lens, I mean, the weather, the facts they post here is their proof with the weather stuff disproves their whole theory.
Did you see the proof? I think it's like, if you put a ship out like far away from Chicago, you can still see Chicago
right here.
Yeah. Something like that. And yes. I did the math. I plugged it all into a calculator. I was impressed. The numbers that they had are correct. They didn't do the math wrong. They did the thinking part wrong where you can
they
just
do that wrong a lot.
Fucking see it with your own eyes.
We covered this like in second grade or first or second grade where they said, look, here's a flat map.
Yeah,
but this is not going to work out, or they had to change the numbers on it because the Earth is circular. We covered that, and it was like it was either in first or second grade. Now, I realize it's been a while since I've been in first or second grade, but it just can't be.
I don't think it went like that.
I mean, this is insane.
These are the most simple-minded human beings on the planet because everything they're posting here is just the dumbest fucking thing I've ever read.
But we are sheep, and that's the point.
It's like they think we go around thinking about the Earth being a ball.
Okay, but
something I never think about.
Let's think about this on the other side. Who cares? Who cares if it's triangle? It's not. But let's say that the Earth is a triangle. Who cares? And who gains?
I don't know. That part, I don't know.
The funny part to me is every time someone brings up, like, you know, the dome as well, I think of the Earth that they imagine as, like, have you ever played the board game Trouble?
Trouble. That's what I said on this podcast. It's the little bubble in the middle.
Yeah.
We're surrounded by a dome.
Earthquakes are caused by someone rolling the dice and taking their next turn.
It's the dumbest goddamn thing I've ever heard. And I hate to talk about flat Earth when Dustin isn't here to chime in. Because he gets angry.
We're probably doing him a favor.
Yeah, probably. So So we're not going to dwell any more on the flat earth stupidity.
It's funny, but
I mean, they prove
also sad
in every post they've made here. They prove how stupid this is.
Didn't they have like top, they had the top 10 proofs, right?
The top, well, they also had like 200.
Top 200.
Mm-hmm. What, I'm afraid to even click hell? On that.
No, I clicked on it, read like 10 of them, and I was done. That was a fun
They're talking
read.
About going into shallow space. Barely, you're still in the atmosphere in a picture here.
So a bunch of guys who chase ghosts at Pythian Castle in Springfield, Missouri think you're ridiculous.
Yeah, it's the dumbest thing.
Oh my God, the horizon's still flat when you go like a little higher than the atmosphere. That's
I mean, there's
crazy.
They're skipping very, very basic physics.
It's almost like when something's 900 million times bigger than you are, you don't fully see it whenever you're...
An airplane would constantly have to dip its nose all the time.
That was the one. That was another one.
If not,
oh my
if
God.
Not, it would find itself.
It would collide with the ground or something.
That is...
Like that.
Well, they can collide with the ground.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big... That's why you're always having to use instruments and stuff like that. I mean, that's... If it were flat, you could... There would be no need for instruments and everything else. All of that would be set and would be a constant.
That's why airplanes are built the way they are.
But that's why you also have to have pilots that know how to read the instruments and stuff like that.
Because if the Earth was flat... There would be a lot more people who are capable of being pilots because it would be a lot easier.
Well,
yes.
Let's completely skip the fact that they have technology on the airplanes that keep the airplane at a horizontal level.
Constant
yeah. level. No, pilots do not have to dip their nose of the airplane to keep
but
it from flying into outer space. Yeah. That is the dumbest goddamn... That one takes the cake.
God damn it.
I mean, all these are just... I mean, who did this? A third grader?
Do we have another listener email that's
a typical
that's
third grader knows more than... Yeah, we're going to have to move on from this because this is absolutely laughable.
Who has the free time to make that website?
And they've got pictures of glaciers that I guess they're calling the ice wall.
Like,
we have people in Antarctica now. I mean, there's scientists there.
They're planted by the government.
This is so stupid. We do have a couple more things. We have another email I was going to mention from Emily. She's with a group. This is the first time we've ever had someone from another state ask us for a collaboration, not on a podcast, but on investigation if we ever have one. They're a paranormal investigation team. They're IQ Paranormal. I looked at their website. They're one of the few paranormal teams that actually has a functioning website that's not a link to a Facebook page.
Also nice.
We wondered if you guys would be open to collaborating on investigations if you ever find yourselves in Des Moines or in Iowa. We'd love to work with you. And that's from Emily and Ian. They're the founders of IQ Paranormal. We could do that if we're ever that far. That's quite a ways.
We could at least
refer people who email us to them. Since they're one of the few teams, like I said, that have a functioning website with testimonials and, whatnot on it.
Wow.
But then here's what I was going to mention. This is a flyer that was handed out to me just when I was out in the street. I think I sent it. And it's going to be ridiculous for me to read the whole thing. But this guy came up to me in the street and just handed me a piece of paper. I saw him handing it to like five other people too, and I took it. I always just take whatever the hell people are handing me, and then I throw it away at the nearest trash can. But on this one, I kept it because it has
this one was special, huh?
Yeah, it has a picture at the top of a demon, and the headline is first of all, there's barely a word spelled correctly in the whole damn thing.
Oh brother.
Demons are very real and alive on Earth. Okay, I'm not arguing with that necessarily at face value, but then here at the very bottom it's got the asterisk. Please read in bits and pieces because BECUZ, if not it will overwhelm you. I was like, okay, well shit, I'm gonna read this slow.
This sounds like a send this message to five close friends or else you'll be cursed for life.
Well, and I expected
thing.
This to have like an invite to some, church service, or it doesn't. Does it? Let me look at the very bottom here. No. This was written by someone who was very tweaked out on some drug. Because here's the very last sentence. So, trick or treat, smell my feet, give me something good to eat. Yeah, you got a great treat all right that night, but the enemy's going to spend the rest of your life running deception, tricking you, stealing your eternal life. I heard a preacher say one time, and keep in mind, this was just a week ago. This wasn't at Halloween. I heard a preacher say one time, if you have not run into Satan, it's because, again, BECUZ, you and him are running side by side, headed for the same place. We're not going to get into religion here, but we are going to talk about, let's see, there was something in here. The devil is the father of lies. So it's, I planned on doing this when Dustin was here because he wouldn't even let me finish a sentence before he would be jumping on this table.
Likely, yeah, that's true.
And they really need to learn how to spell because it's spelled wrong every single time. It's best to remain hidden because his lies will be more effective. So this is basically saying that everything we do in everyday life, driving cars, working jobs, is bringing us closer to the devil. I was going to say, they don't even mention any kind of religion here. Okay, yes, it does. It does down here at the bottom. I'm talking about prayer as a weapon or whatnot. When I was a child, I was blown away by the wind. You can't see it, but you can feel it. And some days it will knock you on your ass, is what this says.
What?
Yeah. The wind was always a wonder to me, feeling something but not seeing it. Then I listened to some dumbass scientist and his science book who explained away my wonder of the wind. What the fuck?
Some dumbass scientist.
The devil's got big tricks. I mean big tricks.
Well, this is just somebody who's mentally ill.
He was very nice. He didn't seem mentally ill at face value.
Most don't. I mean, not all are going to, you know, I mean, mental illness. I mean, this guy's got a mental problem.
I mean, he sat down on Microsoft Word and apparently he disabled spell check. Demons are lurking in the air. I'm not even gonna. Oh, okay. Here's the other thing. I truly hope you're not in hell in the next life because you listened to some damn fool scientist who didn't believe in God and told you to take a needle shot that won't stop you from getting COVID again. What's he talking about, COVID?
Oh, boy.
He's talking about if you take the COVID shot, it does not mean that you won't get COVID.
Right. They've said that from the beginning. I thought I would bring that in and read it, but now that I look through it, it's the ramblings of a goddamn lunatic. And this was a piece of paper that was just handed me in public. The thing that caught my attention at the bottom was...
You'll see these guys all over New Orleans. They're all over New Orleans.
Oh, I know. I know.
And in Vegas.
Please read and study in bits and pieces.
Yeah, what happens now that you didn't read it in bits and pieces?
I'm going to be overwhelmed, apparently.
Oh, shit.
Anyway, I was going to spend more time on that now, but now that I actually sit down and actually read, because I didn't want to read it until we got in here, but now that I read it, I wish I would have skipped it altogether, because this is obviously someone who's mentally ill.
Yeah, I don't even know how to respond to that.
We're not going
to. You can't. He really does have a mental situation. I mean, that's somebody who is borderline on the edge of perhaps hurting themselves.
Yeah, we're not going to get into that. The investigation we did a few weeks ago at the nursing home, we put that on the website, mwghosthunters.com, so you can listen through the evidence that we collected there at your leisure. We got several things. Some of them, you know, some of them, like we always say, some of them we can't be 100% sure. It's so funny, whenever we get to this point, whenever we're doing a podcast where we don't really have a topic, you could probably hear me typing right there. The thing I always type in the search engine is Bigfoot news. And apparently a month ago, Newsweek did an entire story on Bigfoot. Bigfoot sightings may have a simple explanation. They're talking about a common bear species. However, I did see a new Bigfoot video, and I think it was in Utah. Maybe it wasn't. I don't remember exactly where it was. But they had some of the best Bigfoot footprints. You know, usually Bigfoot footprints look vaguely like a foot. It looks like a dent in the mud that might resemble a foot if you look at it hard enough. But these actually had toes and weight bearing. You know, you could tell where the weight was being put through the foot. And I can't remember if that was in Utah or where that was. It was one of the better, you know, cases for Bigfoot that I've ever seen. I think it was in Utah. I can't find it now. I can't even find any good Bigfoot news to talk about. So we're kind of on our own here. We're flailing in the wind as far as what we're going to finish the podcast out with, because we've already hit the... I was going to focus it all on that whole demon paper. I didn't realize it was written by someone who needs, treatment otherwise. So we're not going to, you know, spend a lot of time making fun of him.
Yeah, that's a good call.
Did have another email from someone in Springfield, Missouri, who wanted us to come out and check out their house, and I've got to contact them back because they contacted me whenever I was out of town. It's Linda in Springfield, wants us to get in touch with her about her house. She has, it's funny because she actually has had, we did one of the more recent podcasts we did, we were talking about poltergeists. I don't remember how recent it was, but we were. About their tendency to stack items, or at least that's the well-known thing, and that's kind of one of the things that she's having. That's kind of why I wanted to make sure I got back in contact with her pretty soon, because that's one we've never investigated where the actual claim is plates and whatnot being stacked, you know, during the overnight hours. And that's one of the things that she's having at her home that she claimed here in Springfield. We got to look a lot more into it before we dive headfirst into it. There's a lot, as far as the vetting process goes, whenever we get an inquiry for an investigation, we vet it pretty deeply based on several things. Based on just, first of all, face value, what the email says. Like, for instance, we got one a while back, or maybe longer ago than I'm thinking. Remember where the guy was said he was seeing Venom? Venom being Spider-Man's nemesis in his home.
The symbiote.
Right. That's what he claimed he was seeing was Venom. But then he kept sending email after email, and they were all coming at 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. And you know, just based on face value, it seemed like he needed help that was beyond what we were going to be able to provide. So that's one of the first, you know, lines of defense whenever it comes to vetting a location. The second thing we look at is where it is. We use the, you know, whatever claims they're claiming they have, and then we kind of look at the geographical location to see if there's anything going on there, be it, you know, next to a highway, where, you know, there's a variety of geographical things we look at, and whenever we try to see, and just, sometimes just what part of town are you in? You know, we look at all that too, and that's something we haven't done on this one yet, but we will do that. And if we're not able to help a person, we don't just delete it and move on. We'll at least refer them elsewhere. We never feel right referring someone directly to a healthcare professional, even though sometimes that seems like it may be merited, but that seems like we're stepping outside of our orbit a little bit. And that's not what I'm saying about this lady at all, because her claims actually on her email, it was well written, and they seem like it's something, you know, that we really did want to look into. So that's one we are going to look into here in Springfield, Missouri. And it was kind of a poltergeisty thing. You know, she was talking about plates being, I can't remember what else.
Just item oriented stuff, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I think there was something about magazines on a coffee table that were, you know, fanned out, and then they keep getting stacked up high, stuff like that.
That's what I know about typically what people think about poltergeists. And very item oriented.
And if Dustin were here, that would bring him into the that whole line from Ghostbusters, you know, where the books were stacked in the library, and Bill Murray's character says, "You're right, a human being could never stack books like this." Could a person do it? Yeah. So I mean, that's one of the things, you know, we'll look at, and we'll talk to her before we go out there. And then, of course, like we were talking about in the beginning, we're going to go back to Ashley's place, mainly because we have members of the group now that have never been there that we would like for them to, you know, like John said, it's a stocked fishing pond. If you're wanting to hear EVPs with your ears, this is a place that you're going to hear them.
It seems like a you got to be there kind of thing.
It is. I mean, we've talked about a lot of those. Willard, Missouri, you know, that house that burned, we talk about it being, and it's definitely one where you had to be there. Unfortunately, you can't be there anymore because it's gone. But this one we can. And there's nothing outstanding about Ashley's house. As far as...
it looks just like the president of the PTA.
Yeah, it's just
there.
A regular house in a regular neighborhood, and that's how most of, you know, that's how they usually are. But as far as, like, the history goes, there's nothing significant historically that would cause activity to be higher there than in any of our homes that we know of, that we've been able to find, at least. I mean, you know, a lot of people, whenever they hear of a house, you know, that looks otherwise normal being haunted, they think of, you know, a suicide that happened inside, or people
someone
were
died
Satan worshipers or something. Someone died, and that actually did happen, but hell, that's happened to every house.
Yeah, I don't think there's any place you could go that you're not going to find been a person that hasn't died near that facility. There's just no way.
I think almost every square foot of this planet has had someone die on at some point in history.
Yeah, for sure. And that's what, when we say there's nothing outstanding there, well, like the house in Willard, the one that burned, I mean, there was nothing really outstanding there other than the fact that, you know, that they had done, the daughter had done some Ouija board stuff.
Well, that, and it was along the Trail of Tears, and there was all kinds of stuff that we had done, but that covers a wide, wide range of area. I mean, you know.
Yeah, it was near the trail. That was where our first theory went. I forgot about that, and was the whole Native American thing.
Trail of Tears,
because they found
like
that they found that what they thought was a cannonball,
right?
That was like a perfectly carved rock that was carved into a sphere. They had brought it inside, and we were sure, because back then we were trying to solve the case. We were Scooby Doo back then.
Right.
Now we don't so much try to solve the case, but back then we were trying to pinpoint a reason why, and we thought maybe that was part of it. I forgot about the Trail of Tears aspect of it.
It's kind of like being, you know, saying, well, that home is near Wilson's Creek Battlefield, a huge Civil War. Or, you know, death and, you know, bad things happen in this area. Well, it did, but that covers a large area.
And we spent a lot of time back then trying to figure out a reason why. We spent less time, well, we spent a good amount of time going over, you know, what we collected, but then we spent an equal amount of time trying to figure out why. Where now we kind of more take the approach of, if we collected something, who gives a shit why? I mean, really?
Well, and I think that you got to go back to what Edwin Becker, I know I always talk about him, but the thing that he always talks about is, even if a ghost or a spirit or whatever you want to call these things, identify it as a name, you don't even know that it's telling you the truth. I mean, it could be trying to trick you or anything else.
Right. Yeah. And we've had several instances where we've gotten names, but I mean, the best we can do is just assume that it's being correct. Right. Edwin Becker, by the way, he lives here in Southwest Missouri now. He was the guy in Chicago who lived in that house where there was like it was an episode of Paranormal Witness. It's a pretty famous case. They've made movies off of it. And
I've heard about him.
And he's actually written a book too. I should mention his book because it is good. And he lives here in Southwest Missouri, and I actually met him, and he
hey, you got books for us too.
I know they're still on my desk.
They're not here, but you got them.
Yeah, I do. I've got four or five. I don't remember how many group members of the group there are. They're in the bottom desk of my desk at work. His book is called True Haunting, and it's just the story that he wrote about his experience in this home that he lived in Illinois. I believe it was in the suburbs of Chicago, and it was the first, I believe, if I recall correctly, the first actual paranormal experience that he and his
it was
wife
also the first transmitted exorcism that was done. First broadcast exorcism.
Is it really? I don't really even know if I knew that.
Yeah, it's the very first time because they had a television crew that came out and broadcast the exorcism part. That
exorcism
was there.
Of the home?
I want to say an individual. Mm. I don't think it was at the home.
I don't even remember that aspect of it. I've mainly, my run-ins with Edwin Becker and his story have always happened on paranormal shows like Paranormal Witness. And that show, by the way, is available on Discovery Plus if you have access to that. Paranormal Witness is on there, and his episode is called The Tenants, and it's really good. And it'll tell the whole story, it's kind of, cut down for TV, but it tells the whole story there. Or you can read his book called True Haunting that he's written about the whole thing. But he has a perspective on paranormal activity that kind of mirrors what we think.
Well, except we violate a huge one of his no-nos, and that is that we're doing investigations.
Right.
And that's a big Edwin Becker, let it be, don't touch it, don't mess with it.
Right. And that's one of the things I talked about with him in person is the fact that we do investigations like that. But he was a very normal dude. He was a likable guy, and it was weird, meeting him, having seen all the stories, because I already knew his wife and daughter's name from seeing the damn thing on Sci-Fi. But yeah, the book is good, and they did a movie too. I don't remember they were working on a movie at the time that I met him. I think the movie is also called True Haunting, but that is the name of the book, and it is available on Amazon. It's really good. It kind of highlights the story of what he and his wife went through.
I haven't read it.
I know what they went through in that home, and it was weird because they moved into the house and there was like a witch lady or
yeah,
something. There was an old lady.
It was a tenant that he allowed to stay or something like that.
Yeah, in the lower half of the home.
And then he found something that was walled away or something like that.
Yeah,
and
it's a nutty story, but it is good. And to talk to him in person, you can see he's just a very normal guy who was not looking, for any kind of fame at all. But it's called True Haunting, and you can get that and read it. And like I said, the Paranormal Witness episode is called The Tenants. I don't remember. It's season 2 finale. There it is right there. The season 2 finale, it's an hour-long special that's really good. I think probably the next investigation we probably should do, because one of the things that drives me nuts is when we talk about one forever, like we did Mars Hill before we do it. Probably should go ahead and do Ashley's, get in contact with her and get that one done, because that is just going to be, if it's anything like it's been before, it's going to be just a ton of EVPs. I mean, Hunter, I don't know if you've listened through our investigations from there before. We've talked about them on here and played a few, but
I know there's a lot of snapping.
I hate that damn snapping. But the vocal EVPs are what I'm looking at. There's a ton of those.
And also, I think Tyler pissed himself.
Yeah, that was the same place. Yeah, that was our first visit there.
We've gotten a lot better at capturing audio, too, since we've been to Ashley's house.
Yeah.
We've even gotten better, so we should be able to get a lot.
And I want to get that REM pod in there, get it on the stairs, because the best we had last time we were there was putting an EMF detector there. So getting that on the stairs would be super cool. So we'll probably line it up and do it next. But in the meantime, our most recent investigation is that nursing home we were talking about, and you can find the evidence that we collected there. Just go to the website go to the investigations page on the website at mwghosthunters.com.
And we'll be back with more Dark Matter next week from Pythian Castle in Springfield, Missouri with Midwest Ghost Hunters.